Welcome to Arbor Bridge Church's weekly podcast with your teacher, Daryl Canty. Arbor Bridge Church exists to bridge the gospel and our community by connecting people to Jesus and each other. Visit us online at arborbridgechurch.com.
Good morning. My name is Daryl. I'm the lead pastor here at Arbor Bridge. Thanks for sharing your Sunday morning with us. I'm super excited to spend it with you. Love to get a chance to talk with you or meet you after the service if you have a chance to hang out. So I'm going to share a little bit with you. This is our last sermon in the series, I Choose. We'll start a new series next week. I'll talk a little bit about that in the sermon. But today we're going to talk a little bit about one more choice that I want you to think about when you think about it in your life. One more choice. So lately, when people ask me how I'm doing, the only answer I can really give is tired. I feel tired. And when we ask each other how we're doing, we often answer with answers like busy. And when you say busy, it's not like, oh, I'm busy. It's like busy, like you've been beaten down by your schedule or something like that. And you know, we never respond with answers like relaxed. Or when someone asks you how you're doing, you never respond with like satisfied or I'm doing great. I've done everything on my to-do list and I don't even know what to do with myself anymore. We usually don't answer with answers like that, although maybe that happens for you sometimes. And you don't have to raise your hand, but I wanted you to consider this or think about this. This is something that I've been thinking about too. How many of you often feel like there's too much to do? My son's going to college this fall, and actually the 22nd. And to get ready for that, I just feel like there's too much to do. And often I feel rushed, just like there's not enough hours in the day. And then to add to that question, how many of you would say, I wish I had more time? Which obviously that wish isn't going to come true. You know, you would say, maybe I wish I had more time to spend working out, or I wish I had more time to spend with my kids, or I wish I had more time to visit my parents. I wish I had more time to serve the church. When someone brings something up to you, it's like, hey, can you do this? Yeah, I wish I had more time, but... And honestly, I shouldn't say I don't have time to do those things. I should say, that's not how I'm choosing to spend my time. I shouldn't say I don't have enough time. We all get the same amount of time each day. You and I, we have time for what we choose to have time for, right? We have time for what we choose to have time for. You want to spend more time? You know, for me, I want to spend more time praying and seeking God and being in the Word and just more time chasing God. And often I feel like I don't have time for that. I'm like, I don't have time. And then like something happens in my life, somebody in my life gets sick or some emergency in my life comes up and all of a sudden I've just made some time to spend praying. Wow. We make time for what we choose to make time for, right? And so here today, this is the choice I want you to make. We have to learn to choose important over urgent. We have to learn to choose important over urgent. Aren't those the same? Don't those sound the same? When I heard that, you know, important and urgent sound the same to me. But for our purposes today, they're not the same. So let me define them for you. So getting help when you're sick is urgent, but exercising and eating right so you won't get sick, that's important. Or maybe this. For me, making sure there's a sermon each week is something that's urgent for me often. But making sure that our church family grows spiritually, now that's important to me. And obviously, you So those of you guys who've been Christians for more than 15 minutes, you know that you can have sermons every week and have no spiritual growth at all. So I want to build important over urgent in my life. I want to build that into my life better. So the book of Luke is a book in the Bible that's a historical document that talks about Jesus' life while he was on earth. And part of that document talks about Jesus' closest friends while he was living here. Two of those people are Mary and a woman named Martha, and their sisters. Jesus was going over to their house. Now, pause for just a second and think about this. What happens when somebody's coming to your house? If it's like my house, we do like this mad dash cleaning thing that we do where we clean up the dead bodies and bed, all the things that are all messy that we're embarrassed for you guys to see. I wonder if that kind of thing happened 2,000 years ago. I bet it did. Listen to this verse. This is what it says. Jesus and his disciples went on their way. Jesus came to a village where a woman named Martha lived. She came. She welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary. Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said, but Martha was busy with all the things that had to be done. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, my sister has left me to do the work by myself. Don't you care? Tell her to help me." That's funny, right? So Martha felt all this pressure as the host, and certainly if you've ever hosted anything, you felt pressure to have things look a certain way or be a certain way or get things done. That's relatively normal. So for a regular guest, when you're doing your mad dash cleaning, for a regular guest that's coming over, you can do the thing that we do. You can put stuff under the bed and you can throw stuff into the closet and all that kind of business. But if Jesus is coming over, Jesus knows you push that under the bed. So you got to do real cleaning. You got to do real work this time. Jesus is coming to her house and she wants things in order. She wants things in order. And listen to this. Maybe this will speak to you. For Martha, there are so many urgent things to do that she neglects spending time with Jesus. I don't know if that ever happens to you. I wonder if it does. It happens to me. There's so many urgent things to do that I neglect spending time with Jesus. Martha missed the important in order to pursue the urgent. And the Bible says that Martha was busy with all the things that had to be done. Some versions of the Bible say that she was distracted with all the things that had to be done. I also think it's interesting that the Bible uses the word had. The things that had to be done. Does it really have to be done? Sometimes I'll come to my house and say, "Oh my goodness, these things have to be done." And the question that comes up that I want to ask myself, in that hindsight, being able to step back, is what would happen if those things don't get done? And in those moments, I feel like the world would melt if the things don't get done. But that's typically not true. Also, consider this. Have you ever done something absent-minded and after it was over, you would ask yourself, "Why did I do that?" Or have you ever done something that you've been in a relationship or a situation, like at work or something, and something comes down the pike and you step back and say, "Man, I should have saw that coming." But you were so busy doing the urgent. You were so busy that you didn't pick up on the clear signs that you would have picked up on if you could have taken a step back. Maybe you're so busy with your new job that you don't pick up that you become kind of an angry person since you've got your new job. Or maybe you're so busy checking out your new video game that you don't pick up on your best friend is like having a terrible week. And you're choosing urgent over important. Some of you guys know Martha's story, but even if you didn't, you can know what was coming. You can see what's coming if you really think about this story, if you really think about what's happening in the story. So Martha is there, and she is doing lots of work, and Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet. And Martha's doing the things that have to be done, and Mary's sitting at Jesus' feet. So what's going to happen next here? So Martha starts to complain to Jesus. Jesus about Mary not helping out. And this is what she says to him. Don't you care, Jesus? Tell her to help me. Now, I can imagine in my mind saying something like that to Jesus in my prayers, like, don't you care, Jesus? I want you to do this. But it seems weird when Jesus is sitting right there and she says to him, Jesus, don't you care? Don't you care about what I'm doing? So, you don't have to be a genius if you don't know the story to know what's gonna happen next. Martha's about to get a whooping. She's about to get in trouble. She's about to get. So Martha was busy with all the things that had to be done. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, my sister has left me to do the work by myself. Don't you care? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. Really, only one thing is needed. Only one thing has to be done. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. And then you see, like, Mary stick her tongue out at her behind Jesus' back, right? Jesus is physically in her house, and she's doing the dishes. Dishes are important, right? But Jesus is physically in her house, and she's doing the dishes. And before you judge her too quickly, right? This is what we do all the time, right? This is what we do all the time. It's really unreal. Consider this question. I want you to think about this. What's the most important thing you've ever been distracted from pursuing? What's the most important thing you've ever been distracted from pursuing? So, certainly in this situation, Martha would have to say, Jesus. Maybe for you, it's your kids or your marriage or working out or church or friendships. So for most of us, friendships are expendable. Friendships are take it or leave it. So much of the growth in my life, and this is a funny thing about expendable friendships. So much of the growth in my life has come because I've had friends in my life saying, watch out for that, Daryl. Or checking me on stuff, or being in my business, or pushing me to be more. Next week, we're starting a series about friendship, and I hope you can be here for that, because friendship, I don't think, is expendable as we think it is. I don't think it's expendable as we think it is. What's the most important thing that you've been distracted from pursuing? I want you to answer that question. Think about that. Be honest with yourself. Peter was saying this week that real faith happens when we can be brutally honest with ourselves. And most of the time, we are not that. I am not that. I trick myself into thinking, yeah, I'm good. I know everybody else needs to, but not me. What's the most important thing you've been distracted from pursuing? I want to give you a few tools, and I'll be done. I want to give you a few tools to help you choose the important over the urgent. First one is create space to ask God this. What's the most important things I need to accomplish? And here's the funny thing about Jesus followers. We can be Jesus followers for years and never ask God a question like this. What are the important things that you want me to accomplish in this life? And again, be brutally honest with yourself. Have you ever paused to ask God a question like that and then waited for him to respond? I like to jump into my day. If I've got a really busy day, I like to jump off into the day and get busy accomplishing stuff. It doesn't really matter if it's the right stuff. I just want to get stuff done. So at the end of the day, I can sit back and lay down on the bed and be like, "Woo, I got a lot done today. Look at me." I want to confess to you one of my little weird fears. So obviously, as we get to know each other, you get to pick up on little people's little fears or weirdnesses or things they do that, you know, you're like, ooh, that's weird. So here's my little weird thing that I'll share with you. One of my little weird fears is that I'm going to be having an important place to go, and I'll be putting an address in my GPS and driving to that destination, only to find out when I get there that it's the wrong destination. Like, that is the wrong place. And not like a little bit the wrong place, like Detroit and like Grand Rapids, the wrong place. like way the wrong place. And so, like, when I'm going to a place I'm unfamiliar with, I check the address like 2 and 3 times. I've got this fear that, you know, I'm following, you know, following my GPS blindly and just keep driving, and I'll end up some weird place that I didn't intend to be. This is the kind of thing that can happen when we consistently don't check in with God with where we are headed and what we are doing. We are just busy doing the urgent stuff in our life that we know has to be done, but we never get to the important things that God says, I want you to accomplish this in my life. And here's the thing, and you know this, you can get to the end of the day and you've got all your urgent stuff done, but you don't have any important things done. You get to the end of your day and you'd be able to, if you would stand back and listen and watch. But even worse, you can get to the end of a stage in your life and you haven't got any important things done. This is what people have midlife crises all over. They have it up all the time. It happens all the time to people. They get back, they've done lots of urgent stuff, and they get to the end of this cycle and they say, wow, I haven't done the important stuff. Would you be willing to start your days with creating space to ask God this: what are the important things I need to accomplish? Anytime I think about this, I think this is really strange. Did you know that most Jesus' ministry only lasted 3 years? Like, all the information that we have about Jesus is really just a 3-year span. So, to say that he got a lot done in 3 years is an understatement, right? Part of the reason he accomplished so much is that he knew how to create space to ask his Father, what important things do you need me to accomplish? What do you really want me to get done? Listen to what he says in John. John 8 says this. He said, Jesus, and this is Jesus talking, he says, I do nothing of my own initiative, but just what the Father wants me to do. Man, I want to do that. I want to do nothing, like those days where I'm coming up with all these great ideas about what I'm going to do. I don't want to do anything of my own initiative, just what the Father wants me to do for Sunday, and then tomorrow for Monday. What do you want me to do today? And then I know for sure I'm going to be accomplishing important things. And when you do the important things, then When you do the important things, urgent things come up less. So, second tool for choosing important over urgent is this: do first what matters most. Do first what matters most. So, my other weird confession is this: when I come to work, often the first thing I do is check my email. One of the reasons why that's bad is this: my email always contains urgent things that people want me to do. Now, I've just spent time listening, God, what are the important things you want me to do? And I've got this list, and I come to work, and I show up, and I check my email, and now I've got this pressure from people wanting me urgently to do stuff and distract me from the important. Do first what matters most. Do first what matters most. We're always saying stuff. Let's say, you know, we say stuff like, man, I'm going to work out if I have time. If we have time, we're going to go on a date. One day we're going to do that road trip. I wish we just had more time. So, again, confession time. My son loves to go on road trips with me, and I haven't done many. And now he's graduating and going to college. So we're doing one this Saturday. But what I said to myself was, man, I wish we had more time. Do first what matters most.
Right.
Do first what matters most. Do first what matters most. I spend a lot of time reacting to what everyone else does or what everyone wants me to do or wants from me. But under God's leadership, I need to be initiating and calendaring values and priorities that God is calling me to. Listen to this verse. What you should want most is God's kingdom and doing what he wants you to do. Then he will give you all these other things you need. Third thing, if you do the first two, this one becomes easier. Be ruthlessly selective in your yeses. Be ruthlessly selective in your yeses. And this is hard for me because I'm going to ask you to do stuff and then you're going to have to tell me no. And I don't like when you tell me no. But if you've done those first two things and I don't fit into it, okay, cool. You do your thing. I want to support that. Be ruthlessly selective in your yeses and be bold enough to tell people, I can't do that. I love you, but no. For many of us, the barrier to a meaningful life isn't the lack of commitment that we have. It's our overcommitment, our commitment to the wrong things. And you know this. Busyness does not equal productivity. So if we're going to seek God and ask him for what needs to be accomplished, if we're going to be doing first what matters most, it's going to become easier for us to say no to the good so we can say yes to the best. I wanted to share this with you. The best leaders don't do more. The best leaders do more of what matters most. So one of our best leaders we have here at Arbor Bridge Church is my friend Judy Major. Most of the leading she does isn't with like tight-fisted authority. It's more, she has relational influence. She uses her charisma to lead, which I really appreciate. I asked her to share a bit about how important it is to choose important over urgent. So why don't you come on? As she's coming to the stage, I just want you to think about the human tendency to think that the more I do, the more successful I am, and contrast that with the statement, the best leaders don't do more, they do more of what matters most. You.
He really brought me up here so I could tell you what not to do. That's really good.
Yes.
Like Daryl said, my name's Judy, for those of you who don't know me. This whole series, choosing important over urgent, is so applicable, right? Because everybody says all the time, so what have you been doing lately? Like, oh, so busy. I am like so busy all the time. It's just like, I don't have time for anything. I'm so busy. They're like, oh yeah, me too. I'm so busy. It's like, well, what are we doing? Like, I refuse to say it anymore. Like, I hate that word now. I'm so busy. Because I'm like, what does that mean? Like, I say those things and it's like immediate conviction. Yeah, but am I busy doing what's important? So, this series, Daryl just said this quote. It reminded me of a quote one of my close friends had in above her kitchen sink. And it was, say no to the good so you can say yes to the best. And I saw it years ago. I mean, like decades ago, I saw this. I'm like, ooh, I like it. I really like that quote. So I copied it down. I didn't put it above my kitchen sink like she did. But it always kind of stayed there and it stuck with me. And I'm like, what does that mean? And so, you know, just different things would come up in conversation, and she would remind me, say no to the good so you can say yes to the best. Not in a judgy way, but just like, just putting it out there. So like one of, you know, I'm a mom. I have four kids that are I'm raising in my home. And I'd like to say, like, my motto is, you know, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Yes, this is what I do every day. I choose to serve the Lord. And I have these wonderful children, and I get to teach them how to serve the Lord. And we do it all day long. I'm really holy like that. Really holy. So like, what does that look like? Like, how do I spend my time? What do we spend our time doing? How I choose my words? How I prioritize? Or not? So I'll admit something to you, like the whole Mary Martha thing. So I didn't know that Daryl was going to be talking about Mary Martha. So funny, because this is what I thought of also with this. Confession, I don't relate to Martha. That's how holy I am. For real, like, Martha, I'm actually kind of lazy. Like, I don't really like to clean my house. And cooking, like, I really only like to cook when people come over. So, like, I don't get the whole Martha thing. Like, I want to sit and talk to people. So we had this opportunity to have some friends come visit us. And they've been visiting us since we moved down here often. They've come down quite a bit. And a couple weeks ago, they came down. They stayed with us for a week. And it was great. This is my best friend in her family. So there's five of them, and there was actually seven of us. And then they also had two more of their kids come. So then there was seven of them and seven of us, and we're serving the Lord in my house together. It was so stressful. So stressful. So I started getting really busy doing the things that were urgent. Like, I wanted to make sure we had good meals. Man, I was in the kitchen like crazy. I'm like rising early and making breakfasts, and I'm shopping. I'm doing all kinds of things that I normally don't do. At least with that kind of zeal. And I took care of their young children. I was doing all kinds of things. And then, of course, there are the things that I didn't do. So that week, you know how many times I met with the Lord? None. I didn't pray. I didn't read the word. I didn't seek out encouragement. I didn't create space. But I was super zealous to get the cooking and the cleaning done. The word says, John 15:4 says, "Abide in me, as I also abide in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." That week, I didn't do the important things. I didn't take time to be a really good friend to my best friend. She saw me stressed, and honestly, she probably saw me at my worst. We've been friends for a long time, and I'm pretty sure that was probably one of my worst moments as a friend. I was a Martha, and let me tell you, God has shown me. I was short-tempered, and I wasn't present. So they left, and I cried. I cried because I was stressed. I cried because I missed stuff. I cried because I felt like I was a bad friend. say no to the good so you can say yes to the best. Abiding in Christ, creating space to be with Him is always best. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, Judy. One of the biggest mistakes I make in ministry is choosing stuff and getting stuff done over people. And when I make space to talk with the Lord, He always brings people up to me. He brings people up to me. Listen, Judy said it so well. Love the verse she quoted, the abide with me. So, in our lives, they can be really, really urgent. We can get so busy that we never pause to answer a very, very important question. Probably the most important question in the world. What am I going to do with Jesus Christ? And if you have not answered that question, I'd like to invite you to answer it. I'd like to invite you to pause to consider it, to think about what am I going to do with Jesus Christ? And there's going to be urgent things that try to pull you away from answering that question. But I want to ask you to take the time to, and you don't have to make any decisions about what that is. I want you to work through the what am I going to do with Jesus Christ? Because many of us never intentionally answer the question. And it's important. It's an important question to answer. So, right now we've come to the part of our service that we call communion. This is a time where we're going to drink some grape juice and eat a small piece of bread, remembering the death and resurrection of Christ. But today, I want you to answer the question before you take communion. I want you to answer the question, what am I going to do with Jesus Christ? And maybe you've already answered. You've answered it many times before. Well, we're starting a new week, and I'm asking you to answer it again. What am I going to do with Jesus Christ? I pray that you are going to make Him your Lord. Let me pray for you that you'll be able to do the same. Dear Father, there are so many urgent things in our lives that tug at us for our time. And it's easy for us to get distracted by the things that have to be done. But like Judy has asked for us, help us to abide in you, to live in you, to stay in you, to remain in you. And help us to be able to be honest, brutally honest, and answer the question, what am I doing with Jesus Christ? What am I going to do with Jesus Christ? What am I currently doing, and what am I going to do with Jesus Christ? I pray that you would help us to be honest enough to answer that question, to create space, enough space to answer that question, and then help us to seek you first in regards to our days, to do first what matters most, and then to let you take care of everything else, to let you take care of everything else, that help us to be selective with our yeses and let you take care of everything else. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information on our church, visit us online at arborbridgechurch.com.